going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
WEEI Afternoon. At Buffalo Wild Wings, just across the street from Lambeau Field. It is 2025 NFL Draft Night. Reminder, Nick Fitzy-Stevens will be joining us for the 7 o'clock hour and then sticking around, taking part in the Christian Arcan All-Night Draft Party on WEEI. That'll take you through the totality of the NFL Draft. And we're a couple hours away. Some of the nuggets are starting to roll in on Twitter. We had the report earlier that the Cleveland Browns at number two are listening to trade offers for the number two pick.
Yep.
They might be willing to move down a few spots.
Yeah.
Now we have Jeff Howe reporting from The Athletic. The Jaguars have been actively trying to move up from number five, per a source. They could be interested in moving as high as number two. Huh. Wait, so the Browns want to move down, but not too far. The Jaguars want to move up to maybe as high as number two.
Yeah.
Well, that seems to make sense right there. There's a trade.
Two for who?
I mean, one of the rumors was Ashton Jeanty, that they wanted
Ashton Jeanty. Please. Okay. Is your name Andy Hart or Nick Fitzy-Stevens?
I just told you the rumors. I didn't tell you what I'd do.
You know what? If a running back goes number two,
you will eat that paper.
Well,
that
you trade up.
Oh.
That would be shocking if that happened.
Come on, Teddy. What will you do? What will you do?
You know what? I don't know.
Andy, I know you got something in your head there.
I'm going to slam three Miller Lights with Andy.
There we go.
If that happens.
Or just one if it's really big.
Will you oblige me just to get something off my
chest?
Because you just mentioned the Jaguars. Because the Jaguars are – there's a lot of talk of the Jaguars at five getting Ashton Jeanty.
Yes.
So, you know, Daniel Ball suggested maybe we do a top 10, our own mock.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, you know, so I got all the way up to five, and I got all the way up to five, which is the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they're linked to Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
So I looked at the history of running backs for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Fred Taylor.
My man, number one, Fred Taylor, 11 seasons.
Yeah.
62 touchdowns, over 11,000 yards.
Yeah.
Did everyone Super Bowl him?
No.
What about MJD, Maurice Jones-Drew?
Good player.
Was a second-rounder, bowling ball butcher knives. So drafted in the sixth, in the second round, in the 60th overall pick. But listen to these next – to the Jaguars. Very interesting. The last two running backs of note, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
Do you remember what pick he was?
Playoff Lenny.
Fourth.
Fourth overall pick.
Won the Super Bowl.
Not with the Jaguars. And then Daniel, do you know who they also got in the first round with the 25th pick most recently? Running back?
Travis Etienne.
There you go. So they love running backs in the first round.
So are you buying
this? And have they ever won a Super Bowl getting running backs in the first round?
Are you buying this? Do you think that they're looking to trade up? And if so, do you think they would take the running back? Or could it be for your guy, Travis Hunter?
If you're trading up, if any team that wants to trade up with the Cleveland Browns at two – is talking to them to trade up, it's for Travis Hunter.
And Liam Cohen is
Please.
Their new head coach, who's an offensive coordinator, a guy who you could see him wanting to give Trevor Lawrence an elite supposed weapon to try to build a passing game around it. You know, he's a play caller from the McVay system. I can take this wide receiver, this quarterback, and make it work.
Do you find it fascinating? And you guys, this is Dan, if you want to chime in. I find it a little bit fascinating that I get mixed reviews or opinions on which side of the ball Travis Hunter is going to play. I mean, football people from each team have completely different views on which side of the ball he should play.
Oh, I think if he goes to Jacksonville, he's a wide receiver.
Right.
You give him to
based
Trevor,
on that.
Because
right.
if I'm Trevor Lawrence and you draft Travis Hunter, and I'm like, yes, and then we get to camp and I'm like,
no, he's
what the hell is he doing over
right,
there?
Right, right, too, right.
Whoa,
right.
whoa, whoa. Yeah. That guy, I watch that guy. He can make plays.
For the record, I think he should play offense and then a few plays on defense situationally.
And we do know, because you and I, when we were leaving yesterday, they were doing an announcement thing. They were prepping. They were doing the rundown.
Yeah.
They announced him as cornerback wide receiver Travis Hunter. They were giving him the double label announcement. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got a couple fans that want to join the conversation. Let's go to Randy in Providence. What are your thoughts on tonight's Patriots draft prospects?
Hey, guys, I've got two questions for you. I think Will Campbell's the pick. I think the hay's been kind of in the barn for a long time on that. Like, the reports right around the Senior Bowl, like, I follow a lot of the draft guys, and a lot of the people that were there, there are a couple of people that were saying that the Patriots were, like, in love with Campbell then. So I wonder if you guys think that's a good thing or a bad thing that it was that early on. I mean, Vrabel had just been hired at that point in time, really. But those were the reports out then, and now the reports coming out of, like, ESPN and stuff in the past 24 hours is, like, you know, he's in love with Campbell, they have affection for him, were the words they used and stuff. And I think that's, like, similar to the language that I was hearing from people at the Senior Bowl. So I wonder if you guys think that's a good thing or a bad thing that it's been steady that long. And then I wanted to ask you guys, too, 15 years ago this year was Sam Bradford was picked, right? That was the last number one pick under the old rookie wage scale. And you guys must remember, like, back in the day, it was almost a liability to have a top three pick some years when the quarterbacks weren't great and you were going to have to pay this guy a whole bunch of your salary cap and so forth. How much do you guys think that the game, team building, the draft, all of that has changed in the 15 years since the rookie wage scale has been implemented?
Oh, man. Whew. What was his first question?
I like the first question was, Will Campbell
long
was
question,
sort of.
Good question.
Long question. That Will Campbell was sort of the guy a lot of people heard. Yes, I think that's a great thing.
I think it's absolutely great.
Yeah, like, I actually don't like the idea of, well, we kind of went over it for 6 months and couldn't really decide. And now, oh, my God, we got to pick somebody. I'll take him.
Right. I liked him 4 months ago, but now I'm starting to have second thoughts. No, if you still have the strong convictions now that you had 4 months ago, I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
And the rookie wage scale, I don't know. Do you have a thought on that?
It slots things. I don't know if he's listing. So Will Campbell, if I could get Will Campbell, so you don't like him. In a way, the value of the fourth pick.
That's about the value.
But
I like him as the player.
But also, if you got him at 10, you'd pay him less. Like, that's just the way it works.
Right.
So, would I rather pay him less? If I could trade down, pay him less, get an extra draft pick, that's the ideal. But am I going to try to screw around with that when I want the player? No. I will pay him the value of the fourth overall pick as a left tackle because I've fallen in love with him since the Senior Bowl, and I think he makes my team better, and he's a leader, and he's everything I want. I don't want to screw around for a few million bucks here or there if you think he's the guy.
Or an opportunity not to get him.
Right.
So
617-779-7937, back to the phone lines. Let's go to Tim in Hanover. What are your thoughts on the draft tonight?
Thanks, guys. Love the show as always. It's either wide receiver or bust. Because we've waited 5 years for a quality wide receiver coming out of the draft. We got a good one. We still need one more to solidify the offense. And then no running backs. Running backs are out. So good luck, man. I hope we do good.
Tim, all right. Thanks for the call, Tim.
I almost asked Tim a question. I almost say, with the fourth overall pick, bud? I can't imagine him thinking that's what the pick should be at number four.
Right. I think he wants a wide receiver at some point. Didn't get the fruits of that labor last year with Jalen Polk in the second round.
maybe it's another second-round pick, the trade back into the first round or up into the first round from the second round if you can get Ibuka. You and I were talking on the ride in about the Ohio State kid who, in a weird way, I started to hear rumblings.
I feel like he's not going to be available in the late first round.
I don't know. I honestly don't know where the wide receivers are going. You know, for a while there was like Tet McMillan could be the Patriot pick at four, the kid out of Arizona.
Right.
And now it's like, well, he might go to the Cowboys at 12, and that'll start the receivers. And Michael Golden, the kid out of Texas, and all these others. Right. I think the wide receiver position is a very interesting one where they could go later, but then once they start going, this has happened in other years, a run of them goes, like three or four of them in like six picks.
Oh, like
come
last
off the
year?
Board. Yes. And if they
how are we
wanted,
doing that? Yeah.
And that's where you have to consider trading back up in, and they wanted to last year. They
we're
tried
not trading
to trade
back up.
In. So what?
Nothing.
You don't think that's a shot?
It's not going to happen, bro.
Why
you
poo-pooing?
Keep pushing this.
I know.
Dan Stiz, Andy today on the ride over to Buff.
Oh, boy.
He's like, so we're going to go to the draft, and then, man, we might have to stay. I don't know. I'm hearing that maybe they're trade back into the first, late in the first round. Like, I'm going to call some people. I'm like, dude. The end of the first round, we're going to be here till 1 in the morning.
It's okay. If it brings a stud receiver with a stud left tackle.
If you have me
we'll
sitting here
Super
till
Bowl.
1 in the morning, freezing my ass off.
Wow, you're soft.
And the Patriots don't trade back up in the first round, I'm going to kill you, bro.
Well, what if they do trade back in the first
exactly.
round?
What if they miss the magic?
Andy, are you willing to gamble your life on this potentially? Yeah,
not necessarily. And I did notice, boys, Ted Johnson, when he gets chilly, he gets cranky because he is getting chilly because
it is cold here, man.
The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field is settling here in Green Bay. I did want to hear some of that Will Campbell audio. We played a snippet of it yesterday, but Will Campbell talked to the media, and of course, what came up? But his arm length, but he's used to it.
I like them French fried potatoes.
There we go.
Oh, wait, that wasn't...
Wrong, Will Campbell.
It's crazy how that happens.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
The lead up and dissecting stuff like that when you feel like I've proven and I've shown on tape what I can do.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exhausting. I've heard it since I was 14 years old. You know, the school that I just went to, they said the same thing to me. You know, my coaches, you know, that everybody's had a concern with my arm length since I was 14 years old and I got my first offer. I didn't let it become a problem now or then. I'm not going to now. You know, there's some teams that want to play me at guard, and I'm fully willing to do that because I'm a team guy first. I want to win, and I want to win now. I don't want to wait. And if that means me playing early, me winning, is me at guard, me at X receiver, me at tight end, that's what I'm going to do. So, like I said, wherever, you know, the opportunity presents itself for me to get on the field as fast as possible is what I'm going to do.
Oh, boy, did he nail that answer, right, Ted?
Oh, I mean, you talk about just scratching all the itches, man. I mean, that is gold for a coach. I mean, that's the guy you want right there. I mean, he said it perfectly. A little bit of a, not even a humble brag, but just a in-your-face brag. When I got my first offer at 14 years old, I had short arms then. I'm going to be honest with you. I do like his response to his short arms. Almost defiant, almost kind of back in your face. Good for him. He's very confident in his ability, regardless of the length of his arms. I've questioned it, whether he can work out at left tackle. But he also said, and this is what makes – it's just nice to hear an athlete in today's world say, I'll do whatever it takes for the team. If they want me to play another position, I'm okay with that. When do you ever hear – you got Travis Hunter saying, if I don't play both ways, I'm retiring.
Right.
So, you know, it's just music to my ears to hear a guy kind of talk – in that vein, right?
Yeah. The first thing I thought of was Rafi Devers when he said, no, I'm not moving. And it's like,
no.
This is a kid who, and we've heard so many guys, you're right, you bring up Travis Hunter, but over the years there's all these guys change position and they get defensive, defiant, they push back. I've always been a this, and he's like, I'm a tackle because I've been playing tackle. If they want to move me to guard and that's how we're going to win football games, then I'll go be a good guard.
You know what's interesting? I've been reading some things about Armon Minbu, who I told you, physically, when I watch him play and just his look, he looks more like a pro tackle. But he plays right tackle at Missouri, right? And so if the Patriots were to draft Armon Minbu, who's a right tackle all through college, and put him at left tackle, people here would lose their minds, right?
Yes.
Okay? I was listening to reading an article where one of his trainers was saying he's a right tackle. He's basically saying, I don't ever want to move to left tackle. right?
Right.
And but through his trainer. Just obviously the trainer knows a lot about the player, and so he's basically telling everybody, Armand doesn't ever want to be a left tackle. You know what? I don't want a guy that's not willing to change positions. So as much as I've kind of been more of a fan of Armand Membu in his at least his style and the profile, I don't want a guy that's not open to changing positions if it would be better, the best thing for the team. So,
and then there was another piece of audio from Will Campbell yesterday that I'm going to guess that Drake May liked hearing about, because obviously Drake May is the guy that could benefit or not benefit if they blow this pick. He's going to be the one that's hurt by it as well, because he's the guy out there behind a guy who's not really that good. But if you had any questions about how Will Campbell feels about his quarterback and his role with his quarterback, he certainly answered those yesterday.
We'll fight for my life to keep you off the ground. And, you know, I'm a quarterback guy. I don't let anybody mess with my quarterbacks. You can ask my former cornerback, Jaden Daniels, about that. I don't let anybody mess with them. Nussmeier, the same thing. You know, no matter what, I'm going to stand by them through the fire, because I know they need me to regardless of what that happens.
All right, I'm sold.
I was going to say, the more we listen,
yes, dude, isn't, me
it,
too, bro.
Isn't it easy to see how Vrabel would fall in love with this guy? Like, every time you talk to him, every question you ask him, he answers with something like that, and you're like,
who talks like that?
Have you ever heard,
I don't know, Cole Strange or you know, Mike Onwenu talk like that?
Nope. This guy. That's where I said yesterday.
It's like,
I think this guy becomes the leader of the offensive line the second
he
walks
how
in.
How can a rookie, though?
I just think he has
there's
it.
No other.
Because there's a lack there.
There's a vacuum.
And then
a
he
leadership
had,
void.
Yeah, and then he has – he clearly has these intangibles.
I think Morgan
in.
Moses is
– yeah, you're right, probably for a short time.
Yeah.
But he probably does it knowing, I'm really only here for a year. Like, I'm getting older.
Yeah.
That's the guy. Maybe, hopefully they create
the
some
leader
sort of a
bond. Of an offensive line, a rookie,
yeah.
When there's four other guys, that would be something.
It's true. It's true. It would be, but I think you're seeing as we get these snippets, like even Stiz says, I fell in love with him there. I'm sold. Like, go get him.
Yeah.
And those are the reports we've heard from Vrabel. The reports are, you know, there was the one report that Drake May already knows the pick, that it is going to be Will Campbell. And I'm sure he hears something like that and says, fine with
they
me,
they speak
coach.
The same language, that
right.
Southern good old boy language.
100%. 100%. 617-779-7937. We'll go back to the phone lines. I don't know the name, Stiz, because my internet went down. So if you could pot whatever is on the lineup,
yeah,
for
let's
me,
talk
that'd be
to
great.
Let's talk to Tyler.
Tyler, are you there?
What's up, Tyler?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. First off, I'm loving Will Campbell first pick. Next, I'm thinking Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State. Big guy, about 6'5". He's a red zone presence. I mean, we got to have a guy like that. He's not the quickest, but, hey, yep. I mean, I don't mind.
Yep. Yeah, that's a – and thanks for the call.
I like it, Tyler. That's a name you're hearing a lot.
A very – like, he's been a popular name of late and fits the profile. That's the one thing with Abuka is he's more of a slot receiver, and they have those
guys.
We have
a lot of slots.
There's a lot of slots. A
lot of slot receivers on
this
team.
You need one of those bigger outside presence, and if they can get – if you can get one of those – and add it to a left tackle. Now, because we had talked about all the defensive moves in free agency, that's starting to, like, build the offense out around Drake May.
I agree, right? You know, you play him at Z, so you put him in motion. If he's not the fastest guy, he's not going to be your X. Tall, physical. I mean, I'm sorry. Javon Baker, he's strong. I mean, he's not that tall. Jalen Polk, small. You know, Matt Collins is big, right?
Yep.
Stephon Diggs is big. You know, I like – bigger receivers, mm-hmm. I do. So that name is starting to catch some steam. Well, at least with Patriots fans, but that'll be interesting to see where he goes.
And it's sexy, you know. You go the left tackle that everybody's been talking about for 6 months isn't really that sexy. If you go receiver in the second round, that's a little sexier for a little fun pick. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls on Will Campbell, on the Patriots draft, on rumors. Could they trade down? Could they trade back into the back end of the first round?
And if you've called in, we got people on the line. Hang in there. We'll get to you.
Yes, we will definitely get to you. We'll also get to the Boston Celtics, because last night I was laying in my hotel room waiting to go out to dinner, and I got to watch my guy, JB, step up with no JT, no problem. Had one of the better postseason games in Celtics history. So we'll talk a little Celtics, a little Jaylen Brown, and continue to take your phone calls on the Patriots draft up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Bogg.
Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. And this is our biggest sale ever. buy a new air conditioner or furnace, and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Give me a trending. WEEI Afternoons at Buffalo Wild Wings in Green Bay, just outside of Lambeau Field. NFL Draft 2025 is now just, what, an hour and a half, a little more than an hour and a half away. The temperature is dropping, in case you heard a weird noise. That was the shivering in the background of Ted Johnson. Guy played at Colorado, played in Foxborough, middle linebacker. Snow didn't bother him, but now in his old age here on the radio, he apparently has gotten
soft-ass poo now.
So let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Stiz, your choice.
All right, let's go to Mike in Agunquit, Maine.
What's up, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, I guess this question is for Ted. So whatever happens in this draft, do you think the Patriots are a playoff team, or do you think they're just going to finish 7-10?
You know, thanks for the call, Mike.
Good question, Mike. You know what? Is this going to sound crazy? I think they could be, if they hit on this draft. And when I say hit, you get two, three impactful players in this year's draft. Based on what they did in free agency, I think they got anywhere from 7 to 9 starters in free agency. I think there's around 15 or 16 free agents that they signed. 7 to 9 starters through free agency, and you get 2 starters in this year's draft with a third or fourth prospect contributes in some way. Yeah, I mean, 7 teams in each conference get into the playoffs now, and absolutely. So, you know, I think at minimum you got to win, I think 10 games is the kind of the number, and with the schedule that they have this year. Yes, I think there's a chance that they could get in the playoffs. Well, they only won 4 games last year. Okay. The Washington Commanders only won 4 games the year prior, and they won 12. I'm not saying they're going to win 12, but the Patriots, I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world to suggest they can't make the playoffs. Yes.
In theory, you're a better coached team with Mike Vrabel. In theory, you have a better all-around roster after the free agency and the draft.
Yep.
In theory, you have a better quarterback just because he's in year 2.
He's not
he's
a rookie.
Experience. He's with Josh McDaniels. I think if each of those incremental add a game, let's just say a game, game and a half, well, game and a half here, game and a half here, game and a half here, well, you just added 4.5 games. You're up to like 8.5 wins. Now one more goes your way. Now you're in the conversation.
And you know, you kind of see what's going on down there in Miami. Miami's starting to implode.
Oh, yeah. I
mean, Jalen Ramsey wants out.
Their window's
Tyreek
closing.
Tyreek Hill is – there's a lot of bad press. I think that's imploding. The Jets, we know what they are. So it's really just the Bills.
Yep.
You know, where 2 years ago with Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets and Miami kind of starting to turn things around, I was like, okay, it's going to be a tough division. No. So I think the division's going to be easier with the soft schedule, with all those things you just mentioned. Yeah, I don't think it's crazy to suggest this could be a playoff team.
617-779-7937. Stiz, let's go back to the phone lines.
All right, let's stay in the great state of Maine. Sanford, Maine. Mike in Sanford, Maine.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I really appreciate you taking my call. I am all in favor of a guy who likes to stand and say things with his chest. So I'm all in favor of Will. I think he's a great pick. But I've always been a big, big fan of the Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin types. I'm wondering what you guys think of Luther Burden out of Missouri State, I think. He seems to be that type of player and that type of big-bodied receiver that would be a really great complement on the other side to, I forgot.
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs.
Yep, there you go. Yeah. All right, thanks for the call, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, all day, every day, sign me up.
I think that's a little optimistic.
I'm looking at him. He's 6 feet tall.
He's not as big. He, if I believe, has small hands, Ted. I believe.
Really small hands.
Small hands.
Holy smokes.
I knew you wouldn't like that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But hand size matters for a receiver.
Okay, I agree.
There's no dispute that, right?
No, I agree more with that than for tackle.
Mike from Maine was such a nice guy.
Yeah.
I hate to just, just dump all over his take.
Luther Burden is a little bit of a polarizing prospect. There's people that love him, think he's going to be an NFL playmaker. Then there's other people that are fixated, like you, I think, on the hand size and some other issues. Wow. For that reason,
small hands. I'm telling you, receivers, the best wide receivers have massive hands.
Yes. Yes.
Ugh.
And
no.
I think the comparison to either of those, Boldin or Fitzgerald, I mean, first of all, you shouldn't compare anybody to Larry Fitzgerald because he's like one of the greatest humans and receivers that's ever lived. He's man of the year.
Couldn't agree more.
That's not fair to any receiver at all.
So true.
And Anquan Boldin was a unique guy because he was so big.
He was.
Not that fast. Like, wasn't going to get separation. He was like a possession receiver, but so good at it. Yes. And so I think those are two really unique guys. I don't really think he fits the comparison to either of those guys. 617-779-7937. We'll go back to the phone lines talking NFL draft, Patriots draft. Who's up next, Diz?
Let's go with Nate. Nate in the truck.
Hey, Nate. How's it going?
What's going on, guys? Hey, I think I'm going to get disappointed like I have in the past few years here. Looking at things back to the Mac Jones and Kill Harry. You know, I mean, Drake May last year just, you know, landed in their lap. So when they have to think on their own, they usually screw it up. So seeing that being said, you know what I mean? It's true. I mean, how many guys have come out in the past 5-6 years that have been, you know, just Pro Bowlers? I'm not even talking about all pro.
So new regime, though, Nate. New regime. Campbell, new beginnings.
New regime.
But has the ownership changed? No, it hasn't.
No.
So that being said, you know, if you look at Will Campbell, this kid, I'm sorry, but let me ask you guys this the question, is that if he turns into a card next year, isn't that a wasted pick? Now you're just going after a left tackle again. So why aren't we trying to draft a guy that's going to impact this team for years to come? You're going to have to switch him after a year or two and actually make an impact on this team. Listen, I get it with Drake May. You got to protect him. But you can still go for that guy in the second round, that left tackle. And if you don't hit on him and you miss and he's a guard, it doesn't hurt as bad. So I'm sorry, Will Campbell is not the guy.
All right, thanks for the call, Nate. I disagree. If Will Campbell is as good as most people project him to be, I'm fine if he goes to guard. If you, in 2 years, now, next year would be quick.
I need him playing left tackle this year.
This year?
Like, just hold down the left tackle fort for a year.
I'd actually like a couple years. But if you decide long term, we're going to be the best team. Like, Jaren Duran is now a left fielder, was a center fielder. Like, he was a really good center fielder, but they think Rafaela can be an elite center fielder. So, like, if something like that happens, I'm fine with it, where you go, Campbell's okay, but I think we can do better here, and he's going to dominate when we move him into guard. And then you say that left side of the line is going to be dominant, and whichever running back is now running behind that line is going to kick ass because of those two guys.
Yep.
And I also want to bring up again, like, I think it's quite clear they're drafting him to play left tackle, but also be a part of the core tone-setting leadership culture thing. And if they are valuing that, that's where you said it the other day. Smartest thing you ever said on this show. Comparing him to
Saint
Bregman. And you do say a lot of smart things.
Yeah.
Comparing him to Saint Bregman. The intangibles with the tangibles. Yeah. Are either of them worth $40 million? No, but to this team in this spot with Alex Cora as this manager, like Mike Vrabel is Alex Cora here, right? He wants Will Compton.
Will
Campbell. And he wants him to be the centerpiece of his leadership and his culture and also play and do all those things. There's value in that. Like, I know it's not as simple as, well, he's got the longest arms, and he's built like Tyron Smith, and for 10 years he's going to be the best left tackle. Okay, he might not be that, but they expect him to be a 10-year good offensive lineman.
Yeah, and I get, but there's fans that are like Nate, where it's like, Will Campbell, really? Can we get an impact, you know, a more impactful offensive player? Here's the thing. Will Campbell is going to be an impactful offensive player.
Yes.
It's just not at a sexy position.
And what's worse, Will Campbell plays tackle for 2 years, and then you move him to guard, and he's good guard. Or you draft Ashton Jeanty because he's sexy.
Yeah.
and he stinks because the line's not that good. The offense isn't that good. They're both wasted picks in different ways, I guess. But we also have to settle on it's not a great draft. There's not this abundance.
That's what people need to understand.
Like, you know, when you go shopping, you don't get to pick what's on the shelves, or you buy a house. There's certain houses on the market. If you really want a house right now, you have to pick from those houses.
And so for all those people that – so with that in mind, all the people that are like, hey, you know, get an impactful offensive player, get an Ashton Jensen, get a Tyler Warren, and then get your offensive tackle in the second round. The second round tackle is not going to be nearly as good as Will Campbell is going to be if you take him fourth.
And I guarantee you – he won't be like these audio clips we just played. He won't have the same mindset and work ethic and all of those things that I do. I believe Vrabel, that might be 50% of what he values in Will Campbell now.
I'm telling you, if the Patriots hired me as the head coach and this was my, and I was in charge of this draft, it would be hard for me to pass up on Will Campbell.
Especially
for all that.
We
for
just
all those
listened,
reasons
we listened
listed.
To like a minute and a half of that. Imagine if you had dinner with it. And you sat in a room across from him for an hour and a half and went over some scheme stuff, and he regurgitated it, and you're like, oh, he's smart, too.
Do you remember when Vrabel was talking recently about Abdul Carter's visit and how it's like, yeah, we went to dinner, and then we came back in, and then we talked on the board, and then, you know, we met him again. And what you're doing is you're looking – so you meet with him several different times within that one visit, right? To see if there's any inconsistencies, to see if the behavior was – one way yesterday, but it's something a little different today. My guess is Will Campbell's the same as he is today than he was 4 months ago when they first started talking to him.
And there's some Mike Vrabel in Will Campbell, right? Like, there's clearly some comparison.
There is.
Somebody earlier said, I like
some
guys
self-confidence.
That lead with their chest or talk with their chest.
Yeah.
Both of those guys talk with their chest.
Oh, man. No
They're
doubt.
Coming in chest held high.
No
and,
doubt.
And I think Vrabel probably appreciates that. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines for one more call here. Stiz, what
Let's go Zach in the truck. He's been waiting for a little while.
What's up, Zach? What do you got on the Patriots draft tonight?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Hey, good.
Good, man.
So I saw a report. I forget who it was exactly that said it, but there is actually a possibility of the Patriots moving up to 3 and trading with the Giants for Abdul Carter. I personally think that is definitely – he's. Like, I've heard you guys talk about morning show, afternoons. Like, he's definitely, I think, the number one guy in this draft. If he's there at 3, do you guys think they should move up and trade with the Giants to go get him? So we actually get one of the blue chippers instead of Will Campbell?
I'm just, did you talk to Fitzy's guy? Who did he talk to get this info?
I don't know.
Patriots are trading up to 3?
You never know. I'm sure it's on. I bet you on Twitter you could find it.
This is fun. Should the Patriots trade up to number 3 to get Abdul Carter?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we've seen and heard enough little rumblings about Abdul Carter that he's great. He has elite upside as a pass rusher. And, you know, the tow truck
driver thing. Haven't you heard that he really isn't – the Patriots really weren't that high on him?
I heard rumblings that if he was there at 4, they were
– going to maybe pass on him.
Yeah, maybe pass on him or look to trade out of the spot. So, no, I don't think they'd be looking to trade up because that's the perfect example. He probably has a little bit more talent, physical ability than Will Campbell, but the other stuff drags it in the other direction, whereas for Will Campbell, the off-the-field, the intellect, the IQ, the attitude lifts his talent where you go, oh, yeah, we can work with that. Yeah. We can make that work. We can make that play. So, no, I don't think they would do that. I'd love to talk about it. I'd love to pretend because for our purposes, it's more fun to say, they're going to trade up and they're going to get Abdul Carter and he's the best player in the draft and he's going to be opposite Harold Landry and Vrabel. Oh, my God, they're going to kill other teams. I don't really think it's realistic. I would love to talk myself into it. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls. We will touch on the Celtics, Jaylen Brown, in the coming minutes. And also, remember, top of the hour, Nick Fitzy Stevens will join us as we continue to prepare for the inevitability of Will Campbell taking over left tackle in New England. Where there's a will, there's a way, and maybe that way leads you to the playoffs. We'll talk about all that and more next here on WEEI Afternoons. That's Joe Mazzulla talking about the elbow to the head Kristaps Porzingis took that created a lot of blood very quickly. He went to the locker room, got a bandage on it, returned to shoot his free throws, hit one of them with blood just streaked through his blonde hair, then went back to the locker room, got 5 stitches, returned to the game later. Celtics controlled the game. I wouldn't say they ran away with it. They controlled the game.
Definitely controlled. Good way to put it.
The Magic wouldn't necessarily go away. They were annoying. They were feisty. But Jaylen Brown had a historic performance. 36 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Was hitting threes, hit all night long.
Yeah.
Was getting steals, doing it on both ends of the floor. Certainly looked healthy for all those injury concerns we had with the knee coming out of the regular season. Jason Tatum was on the end line in a sweater cheering him on. Ted, I'm going to say what I said to you this morning.
Okay,
and we're just going to touch on it real quick. We're going to move on because I know we got a lot of phone callers that want to talk NFL draft. But it was interesting juxtaposition that Jason Tatum was sitting out with a bruise, a pain management bruise in his wrist, and you had Kristaps Porzingis playing through what looked like basically a UFC finish move to the forehead. And one embraced his WWE moment. Okay. The crowd loved it. They ate it up. And Jason Tatum was a cheerleader. But luckily we got JB, who's the real dog of the team.
What are we doing now, JB?
We got the real dog of the team ready to put him on their shoulders. Yeah, so you didn't see that at all? You didn't see that at all?
I was impressed with JB. I'm not going to lie. I was impressed. He 5-for-7. He just was locked in. I don't know. I would say, like, JB, I thought, really stepped up.
Absolutely.
He was excellent. I don't know. We're all going to call out Tatum for not playing that game, but him not playing, I mean, let's face it. KP was the first round against an opponent that there is an inferior opponent. Still love him. He was just playing up to the crowd, and I love it. KP's playing up to the crowd. He's going to – I think when it's all said and done, I hope he has a huge impact on this team going to the finals and winning the whole thing, because – I just love the guy, and I think he's such a fun player, and he's obviously enjoying his time here in Boston, comparatively, you know, to where he's been in the past in his career.
And I saw a stat. I think he affected 14 shots at the rim, and it was a huge number.
I think he's the key to the OKC series, because I think it's a foregone conclusion that the Celtics get to the finals and OKC is there. I just think the way the OKC is constantly going to the paint and trying to finish at the rim, we need Kristaps Porzingis healthy for his defense, his interior defense.
His defense, at times his offense, because he gets hot at times and carry you for a quarter plus.
No doubt.
And also, I appreciate his entertainment value. The way he plays the crowd.
Love it.
Even earlier in the game, he got hit under the basket and was like high-fiving, shoving guys under the basket.
He's done that the whole time he's been here.
He's a competitor, and he's great on the floor, but he also realizes people are there to be entertained and have fun and kind of connect, and he does that. He does that as well as anybody we've had lately.
I don't think he ever had that relationship with fans in Dallas or the Knicks or where was he? The Wizards. So he's enjoying playing in a place that appreciates the team he plays for and his abilities.
617-779-7937. Stiz, let's go back to the phone lines. What do we got?
Let's go to Shane. Shane.
What's up, Shane? Shane. Let's
going
go somewhere
once.
Else.
All right, Shane. How about Eddie in the car? Eddie's been waiting a little bit.
Eddie, what are your thoughts on the Patriots draft tonight?
Well, guys, I wanted to ask you a question. The assuming that Chalk goes 1-2-3, you know, Ward, Todd, or Hunter, if they don't draft Campbell, who do you think the best choice would be? My opinion would be Jonte, but what do you think?
Yep.
I'll hang up and listen.
It's a good question. Good question.
Thanks for the call, man.
I think that's if the most fans we polled in New England would probably the first pick would be Ashton Jonte, no?
Yeah, I think I would go with your guy and Tom Curran's guy. I think I'd go Tyler Warren.
Okay.
I think you've used this phrase, he can impact the game maybe in more ways. He was so versatile for Penn State, running the wild. I mean, doing all the things a tight end does, running the wildcat. That's actually become a thing now. The way the Ravens run that play with Mark Andrews running
they sneak him under there and put him under the center. To be right.
And I just wonder, and I also think he would fit in with the. And this is not a shot at Ashton Jonte, but I think he would fit in with the culture we're talking about. Remember, there was that one report where some teams were saying they weren't even bringing in Tyler Warren for a visit because there was no need. He's like the perfect prospect.
We know
his toughness, his work ethic, his this, his that. So I think that would fit in with what Vrabel is trying to do with the team. And I think he can be a really good player. And we're seeing tight ends have, you know, more instant impacts on offenses across the NFL right now. I think he would be a really fun fit. And, you know, the cliche, the Drake May tight end is
tight
best
ends
friend.
Are extensions of wide receiver group.
Yep.
And he had over 1,000 yards receiving for Penn State. This is a guy that can have, you know, a huge impact in the passing game. So he's just like a big ass receiver to me that you don't have to pay as much and worry about the prima donna, you know, kind of attributes that come along with the wide receiver. So I would love Tyler Warren if they don't go with Will Campbell.
617-779-7937. We will continue to take your phone calls, NFL draft, but we're also going to play a little game up next. It's more likely. I've come up with a number of scenarios for this draft, and I'm going to ask you if they play out, which is more likely? It's a game I like to play. They're two polarizing questions. You got to pick one end or the other. You can't middle it. You can't sit on the fence.
Okay.
You got to pick one end or another. Also, Nick Fitzy Stevens will be joining us. Add him to this pre-draft mix here for WEEI Afternoons at Buffalo Wild Wings across the street from Lambeau Field, where we're a little over an hour away.
Getting ready. You can feel the energy. I saw a Brett Favre jersey finally.
About time. You lost.
Man.
You were noting, no?
I was like, where's the four jerseys? We're in Green Bay, for crying out loud.
Not sure I'd have his jerseys. The Jordan Love era is here, right? We've moved on. We're two moved on. Two
yep.
weird quarterbacks we moved on
no
from.
Doubt.
But coming up on the final hour here, WEEI Afternoons, what is more likely to happen? We'll play that game next here.